Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody to our joint meeting. Tonight, we have our Citizens Advisory Board, our Planning Commission, our Parks Board, and our City Council all together in one, under one roof to talk about something that's very important for our community, which is planning for our future. The way that this will go, first, I'd like everybody to recognize that because this is a City Council meeting, that the meeting is being recorded. So when you do speak to the group, make certain that your voice carries so that it can reach this microphone right here on this little tiny box. We have some people that may come in during the course of the meeting, and we may need to stop every once in a while just to announce for the recording that somebody has entered the room. It's kind of like we do in a regular meeting, and that's only for the recording. The way that this meeting will go, first, again, I'm opening the meeting. After that, I'll be handing the meeting over to Paul very briefly, our planning manager, and then after that, he will be handing over the meeting to our consulting team, and our consulting team will then be facilitating the meeting from there, and I'll just be walking around rather than acknowledging people and things like that. So I guess with that said, will everybody please rise? And the flag's right up there. You'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Paul.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to say two things. Welcome and thank you. It's good to have you here tonight, and we really appreciate you being here. What we're going to be doing is talking about some downloading from the visioning workshop we had last month and putting that to use and talking about economic development, and we're actually going to put you to work a little bit before we let you go tonight. I'm hoping that a few more people will come falling in as we move along, but I do want to... Should we do introductions?
Go for it.
Okay, we'll do some introductions. As Mayor said, I'm Paul Pelka. I manage planning and permitting for the city, and I'm also the lead for the city on this comprehensive plan project, our 2015 20-year update, looking to 2035, so you're going to have to use your imaginations. We've hired a team of consultants to help us through this process. Bill Grimes in the back is with Studio Cascade, the lead, as is Rick Hastings. And we have Brian, starts with a V. Brian Bedeman, he's with Leland Consulting. They specialize in economic development. We also have environmental consultants, some landscape architects, and transportation folks that will be joining us. FYI, this month is economic development month. Next month is about transportation. April is parks. And May will be running a storefront studio downtown for several days. So with that, why don't we go around the table? Let's start over here and just introduce yourselves very quickly. And remember, we're recording. And then we'll hand it over to Bill. Thank you.
Elizabeth Smith, City Clerk. I'm Chris Henderson. I'm with the Monroe Monitor.
Gene Brazel, City Minister.
Wayne Rowland, Planning Commission.
Ed Diaz, City Council.
Happy Canada, City Council.
Rick Hampson, Citizen Firefighter Advisory Committee.
Kevin Hamper, Council Member.
Jeff Sherwood, Planning Commission.
Danny Dirksen, Planning Commission.
Bill Christiansen, Planning Commission.
Rob Yingling, Parks Board.
Kirk Gearing, City Council.
Jim Camp, City Council.
Tammy Bowman, Park Board.
Karen Coppernall, Park Board.
Shauna Chamberlain, Park Board.
Jeff Rasmussen, City Council.
Melissa Sartori's Planner.
Brad Palbert, Public Works Director.
Mike Farrell, Parks and Recreation Director.
I'm Brian Vanneman with Leland Consulting Group on the consulting team.
Bill Bryant with Studio Cascade.
Yeah, my name is Jeffrey Thomas Mayor, and
Rick Hastings with Studio Cascade.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, well, thank you very much for
taking some time out of your evening here to join us. We have a bit of a presentation up front, then we'll turn up the lights and get into that exercise. For those of you who noticed the disco ball on the ceiling, you may be disappointed to know we'll not be using that. Unless, of course, I misapply my laser pointer, and then everybody duck. So, intro, we're going to be talking a bit about our project tonight. We're going to ask Brian to get up and talk to us about economic development strategy. Paul mentioned that this was Economic Development Month. It's drawing to a close, but it's something that that we've been working on since our last vision workshop that we were here last month. And then we'll get into our workshop, and we have some fun exercises for you tonight. So this project involves four separate components. There is a comprehensive plan update, and this is something that all municipalities that are planning under the Growth Management Act have to do. You have to do a periodic update to your comprehensive plan. But Monroe is taking this a little bit more seriously than most. It's time for a fairly comprehensive plan update. And so the city is not only looking at a comprehensive plan update, but it's also looking at a transportation plan update, a parks, recreation, open space plan update, and an economic development strategy. So this is an opportunity to knit together four very, very important policy documents. The city is also looking at updating its utility master plans. So there's a lot that's going on now, and these things are all going to cross-pollinate so you have a consistent, powerful, and compelling policy framework. Paul mentioned our consulting team. This is a list of the different companies. Studio Cascade, that's Rick and me, based in Spokane, Washington. We're working with Brian Vanneman with Leland Consulting Group. You also met another Leland consulting person, a guy named David Siegel, who was at our workshop last night. So the two of them are our dynamic economic duo. We're working with Fair and Peers in the world of transportation. A company called AHBL, Civil Engineers, Landscape Architects, are helping us with Parks and Rec and also with assessing utility system demand. And then we're working with EA Engineering to help us with the environmental documentation portion of this process. So what is this process that we're running? Well, last month we had our vision workshop, and I'll talk a little bit about tonight, not too much, but I'll talk a little bit tonight about where that's headed. And then we are in our economic development planning capsule. We have three planning capsules, and they're all very intensive, focused work on these different topics that are very important to this overall plan. Next month we'll be talking transportation, so we'll be running some community workshops there. We'll also be meeting with our advisory committee in a focused session. So we can get good downloads there between the committee and our transportation consultant. And then the following month we have a parks and recreation capsule, which will be followed then in May by our week-long storefront studio. Over the summertime and into the fall, we'll be working on drafting the plan components, and then we'll come back probably mid-winter, early spring for review to the Planning Commission and the Parks Board, and then on to City Council for ultimate adoption. And we need to make sure that we have this done and adopted by the end of June next year. We're going to try to beat that deadline, but that's a deadline we have to observe. We've been asking the community a bit about its thoughts on vision. And for those of you who signed up to the Envision Monroe and Mind Mixer websites, you've had an opportunity to take part in some of that, where we've asked you things like, if you could change one thing about Monroe, what would it be? What are some of your big ideas about this community? Take a picture and let us know what you see that you like in Monroe. And let us know through a caption specifically what it is that you're talking about. So we've been polling the community on these kinds of issues and getting some response. Tomorrow night at the workshop, we'll post some of what we've heard so you can get a chance to see what it is that people are saying. And if you want a preview, go to the website, take a look at envisionmonroe.org, and you'll be able to view all of that stuff. And it's been pretty darn informative, giving us, I think, a pretty solid springboard for the workshop that we ran last month. For those of you who were at the workshop, you probably remember that we had these little pulse pads. So we handed them out before the workshop, and we asked people a series of a dozen questions about attributes of Monroe that they'd like to see enhanced or not so much.
So this is just a quick summary of, I'm not expecting you to read this. This is just a layout of the results from that Pulse Path process, where we're asking people different questions about what it is they'd like to see in Monroe and how they might want to consider changing it over the coming 20 years. There were several areas where the community seemed to be pretty well aligned, and I'll just read these here. Neighborhood connections, people want to make it easier to go from one part of Monroe to another. People appreciate the Skycomish River and Woods Creek, and they'd like to see more access to that. They want to make sure that local businesses have a sense of priority in community policy, that we do what we can to diversify the local economy, that the hillsides are a visual resource worthy of some appreciation in this community, do what we can to revitalize downtown, promote the community's active lifestyles, and do what we can to secure higher paying jobs. So these are things that people generally seem to agree on during our vision workshop. And I have to say, we were not surprised by the things that people didn't necessarily agree on. Things like increasing overall development intensity. There's some appreciation, I believe, for a single-family housing type and the land uses that go along with that. Pedestrian and bike improvements should not necessarily be done in favor of or at the expense of alleviating traffic congestion. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that it was necessarily a direction that we don't do pedestrian and bike improvements, but the community would split in how that should be approached. And also, there's an illusion that this is a universal consideration. These questions really are at the 30,000-foot level. And I think as we get down to looking at some finer detail, finer grain analysis, they might break out a little bit. So maybe people aren't necessarily hoping for universal pedestrian bicycle access, but there might be some places where it's really darn important. So anyway, that's something for us to be chewing on. The community was also split on whether or not Monroe should expand its urban areas to accommodate population growth. You know, maybe there's an opportunity to use land we have here now. Also, there was some ambivalence over the community's reputation as a bedroom community, where people live, but they work someplace else. And the numbers, based on the census, are interesting. And maybe, Brian, you're going to talk about that. I don't know if you will or not as part of your presentation this evening. But many of Monroe's residents work outside of Monroe, but Monroe is still a job center for the region. So there are a lot of people who work in Monroe that come to Monroe from further east and further up the Sky Valley. After we went through that pulse pad exercise, and I really enjoyed it, I think the participants did too, we went into a workshop process where we asked participants to do three things. We asked participants to figure out how to accommodate a population increase. Now, how are we going to accommodate 2,100 new housing units in this community? So we asked participants to work on that and let us know what those 2,100 units need to go and consider the residential type that they would be. Would they be single-family homes? Would they be condos, apartments, whatever? Provided for some different housing choices as well as the density ranges. Anyways, it was a fun and interesting exercise, if I don't say so myself. And then we asked people to say where the new jobs should go in this community. If we're going to be adding 2,100 units, we should probably also think about how we're going to be employing people associated with those households. So we asked people to take a look again at a map, and let us know where those jobs should be located and what types of jobs they should ought to be to employ newcomers into Monroe. And then the final portion of the exercise was for folks to identify places in Monroe that really represent great examples of what we need to do more of. Where can you look in this community for a very good case study to let us know how we can design our homes, how we can design our streets, utility systems, build our neighborhoods so we can really use the successful, organic, hometown vocabulary that Monroe's already got. We took about 40 minutes in that workshop, and we had 11 tables that went through the exercise. And our charge has been to filter through that stuff.
You know, there were areas of commonality in the pulse pad exercise. And there are areas of commonality in the map exercises that we did. And what we're trying to do now is to distill from that a sense of how we can translate the areas of agreement into a vision. And then how we can distill those areas of disagreement into a focus for our study. You know, how can we get through this stuff where we may have some nuance or differences of opinion? We've started populating the vision tree. We have a hard copy of this on the wall, and I would certainly invite participants tonight to think about how you might want to take care of some things in the community. We've got post-its to accommodate that. But we started on this vision tree, and we've gone through the results of the pulse pad and the sheets, and we've tried to capture some of these topic-specific goals. And these topic-specific goals, that's a tough thing to say repeatedly. Anyway, these topic-specific goals are going to populate policies and then ultimately programs. So we have this vision tree that has these topic areas, which are really the big load-bearing limbs, and then the goals are slightly smaller limbs, and then you branch out into the policies, and then you have these leaves, which are the programs, and they represent a hierarchy of planning. Now, it's kind of a wonky thing that we do as planners, but we have to make sure that when we identify a specific program or a specific task, that it is solidly rooted to the rest of the tree. So that if someone is saying, hey, let's build a roundabout at Madison and Lewis or Madison and Main, then if it's on the policy tree, you can take a look and see how that specific action is consistent with the policy that helps us to achieve a goal that fulfills or helps to address an issue. So anyway, it's kind of a wonky thing, but as we start having ideas about what it is that we need to do, and these things are coming in on the website even now, we can figure out where to place them on this tree. And if we do it right, the tree helps us figure out which things we need to retain, which things we need to do right away, and which things maybe can be deferred or just left off the tree entirely. Anyway, it'll be a fun tool, and as you see this process continue, you'll see this tree begin to blossom. But tonight's conversation is really about economic development, and I think that the timing for this is appropriate. When you think about economic development, I think if I were to ask 10 people around these tables tonight what economic development is, I imagine we would get 10 different answers. Some people spend their careers defining economic development, trying to figure out exactly what it means and how to translate that into policy. We're going to have to shortcut that a little bit. And Brian's presentation tonight, I think, is going to help give us some tools on how we can begin to see what components of economic development are relevant to the policy work we need to do. You know, when we talk about economic development, we generally have this, I know that I do, I have this thought about economic development in terms of things like how do we maintain or create an infrastructure system that's going to create or sustain the community's economic relevance, this economic machinery here that we have as a city. How do we have the water, the sewer, the stormwater, the transportation facilities that are going to keep us moving and keep us ticking? Another part of it is, what's our prosperity profile? How do we employ people and bring money into this community through the wages and the goods that we're producing and generating and selling to areas beyond Monroe? Another thing that's beginning to become a more important criterion in terms of economic development is our quality of life. You know, as we look to make more robust, more diverse our economic picture, we're looking to attract business leaders in this community that may not necessarily be here because we're close to the woods, or we're close to the river, or we're close to the highway. You know, those traditional things about being either close to the resources or close to market may or may not necessarily be as important today as they had been when Monroe was founded. So things like quality of life, you know, how good are the schools? How safe are the neighborhoods? How easy is it to get to a full metropolitan center? You know, these are the, how good is the hunting nearby? You know, I mean, there are things that factor into this that aren't necessarily a traditional economic development component. So quality of life is another criterion that we think about. And more and more, fiscal balance and fiscal health are concerns about economic development. How can you create a land use profile, a commercial profile, an institutional profile, so that you're able to continue being a fiscally viable city? And there are lots of communities that are struggling with that right now. Brian will talk a little bit about that in his presentation too. So economic development is really a pretty diverse thing. It's not just about getting a new company established in Monroe. You know, there are lots of other questions that underlie that specific activity. So one of the things that we're going to be working on tonight in the workshop is figuring out a little bit about the why. Why is it that we're doing these things? Why is it that economic development, and however we might characterize it, why is it important to us, and who is it that we're trying to serve with this economic development strategy? The rest of this planning process is going to be looking more at the more specific stuff, the what, where, why, and how. I'm sorry, the what, when, where, and how. You know, we can start to program that stuff, but we have to have a good, solid understanding of the value of economic development that's needed, and that's where the why and who comes in. Okay, so Brian, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about local economic development.
Well, again, thank you for everybody for taking the time out of your evening to be here with us. It's a big group. I appreciate it. I'm Brian Vanneman, part of the consulting team. I work for a company called Leland Consulting Group, and I am actually based out of Portland. We've been around for about 20, 25 years, and we work in the fields of real estate development, economic development. We've worked probably with over 200 cities to put together a lot of real estate deals, downtown revitalization, district revitalization, and citywide revitalization. So as Bill said, I am going to talk about economic development, and I am fired up on about 36 ounces of coffee from one of your downtown stores. I had dinner at, I think it was Los Tapatios, Mexican restaurant. I said, can I get a to-go coffee? She said, all we've got is 30-ounce cups. So I said, sure, I'll take it. So I wanted to start out and talk about another city that's not Monroe, and that's Bend, Oregon. It's a city that I know well, and as we talked about Monroe in our office and with the team, we thought, you know, this story keeps coming up and has resonance for some reasons that I'll talk about. Stories are always useful ways to understand things. So Bend is similar in a number of ways to Monroe. It is in its own way a gateway to the Cascades, right near the Sisters Mountains and a bunch of water features. It's right on the Deschutes River, named for a bend in the river. And over 100 years plus, the basis of its economy was the timber industry and other ranching, other natural resource-based industries. It experienced a tremendous amount of growth. It kind of grew slowly in the early part of the 20th century, and then it just went nuts in the 90s. From 1990 to 2000, grew by a population of 40,000 in the county. The city was growing at over 6% a year. So this is clearly a community that had to deal with the pluses and minuses of growth. So what happened? A few kind of points of the story to talk about and think about. One economic success story from the city of Bend has been their aircraft industry. This is a photo of the manufacturing plant of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing. At its peak, this factory alone employed 715 people. And they were a new company to the area. They were attracted by the flatland, great place to fly, and a populace that had a lot of machinists in it who had worked at the value-added wood products industries.
and some incentives from the city. They also, as they grew, they added a lot of really attractive neighborhoods. I don't know how well you guys can see this. And they brought in a lot of new population, obviously. And that population also brought jobs with them. They tended to be more college educated, more highly skilled in professional fields, and they brought software, more bioscience and healthcare. And the neighborhoods that were created, many of them are very attractive and very nice. This is the old Shevlin lumber mill here in the upper right, and you might not remember these three smokestacks were from the first image I showed. That's the old lumber mill. It was reborn as a mixed-use village center, largely retail. Great brownfield redevelopment. And the downtown has been revitalized. So just some themes from that for me. They had to work. They had to manage growth. They had to deal with the pluses and minuses of it. Their emphasis for a decade or more was on quality of life. That was their number one emphasis. And that, I'll talk a little bit more about that. It means many things to many people. But ultimately, their philosophy was, does somebody want to move here and start a business here and live here for the next 20 years? And what are we offering to that potential entrepreneur or current entrepreneur or current resident that makes them want to stay and invest? They diversify their economy. I talked about aircraft. They, as I also said, they brought in a lot of software. They have a big solar and energy sector. And so their economy diversified from lumber and wood products. They also became capitalized on that gateway destination, the outdoors, the river, natural amenities. They have a big tourism industry, and that has charged their downtown. They have a bunch of great breweries, too. And those tourists are buying the goods and services and beer downtown. And they were able to reuse many of their brownfields. There's many that still remain in under usage. So, given that, what is economic development? As Bill said, I'm actually not going to jump right to answer that question just yet. What I am going to do is talk about what we're going to give to you and what this economic development strategy and part of your comp plan is. So we kind of have layers. We've got an overall vision, which will really come from that tree, is what is the vision for Monroe? Then we have what we're going to be talking most about tonight, what the work session is about, is what are our economic development goals? Can we define 5 to 10 key goals the city wants to achieve over the next 20 years? And that gives us the framework to then say, okay, underneath each one of those goals, what are the strategies, the actions, the policies we need to take? So if we set a goal is we want to get Boeing to relocate to Monroe. What do we need to do? What are the strategies, actions, and policies that need to happen to get that to take place? Well, we would need to find a 1 to 400 acre site. I'm not sure, frankly, exactly. But there would need to be a series of strategies, actions, and policies in order to achieve that goal. And then, at a more detailed level, what are the programs internally that the city can budget against? What are the priority of those different things? What's the timing? Who has responsibility? What is the budget? And what are some metrics for success? Now, at the comp plan level, we will answer. We may not answer with complete specificity some of these very detailed granular issues. But the other thing about economic development strategy is that it implements your vision. It needs. I envision this document as something that's simple and concise. It's not one page, but we should be able to simplify it to one page so that we can put it on the wall at City Hall and many other places so that we can collectively look and say, these are our 5 to 10 goals. Now, there's also a binder on the shelf that tells you all the details of those issues. But the idea is we have a guiding document with a series of goals, and that's again what our working session here will do. And it's an action plan, a chart for change, and it's a living document. Ideally, these things get updated periodically, and periodically can be 1 year, it can be 2 years, it can be 3 years, so that we know whatever we come up with tonight may not be accurate in 10 years. It may not. So it needs to be updated, you know, every so often. So what is economic development? Bill acknowledged that it does have many definitions. It has to do with people and their skill sets and their education. It has to do with businesses, whether they're growing, the types of businesses that are in a place, policies and regulation, the tax base and fiscal health, and places, connections, and infrastructure. There's a lot to it, but if we were to offer a precise and short definition, it would be any new infusion of investment or wealth into a community that continues over the long term and benefits citizens. So it's new wealth into a community that continues long term. Winning the lottery is not necessarily economic development, because that can evaporate the next day. So I'm going to talk about a few regional and national trends that I think are and we think are relevant to Monroe. First of all, we're in the Puget Sound region. This underlies what happens here. It's a great place to be. One of the publications that I look at every year is something by the Urban Land Institute, which talks about real estate development prospects nationwide. Seattle is the fifth metro area in the nation after New York, San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, Seattle. It's growing quickly. It's got a number of very strong industries that are projected to continue to be healthy over the next 10, 20 years. So what does that mean for us? It means that, as Snohomish County has projected, we can confidently believe that there'll be housing growth here, there'll be business growth in Snohomish County. So another key to the economy in the 21st century is, in the 19th and 20th century, like we saw in Bend, it was based a lot on resource extraction and value-added jobs and businesses to those resources. In the 21st century, most jobs are coming from human creativity. And so what does that mean? When we think of the Seattle region and you think of technology jobs, biotech jobs in Bothell, even the Boeing jobs and related in the Everett area, a lot of the value that's created in the end product is coming from a designer, an engineer, a technology professional. And so this is nationwide, but just looking at kind of manufacturing jobs since 1945, really kind of flatlining more or less. And these service jobs, it includes healthcare, technology, biotech, engineering, graphic design and design, anything that somebody's providing that isn't a physical a product at the end of the day. So that's where a lot of jobs are coming from, and it's where a lot of high-paying jobs are coming from. And as we've changed from a resource extraction type and manufacturing type job base in the United States to one where we're creating jobs through creativity and innovation, most cities have kind of shifted their approach from what's sometimes called a chasing smokestacks mentality to a quality place mentality. Now, quality place means many different things to many different communities. But ultimately, as I said before, when we work with cities and when I talk to economic development professionals in cities, they're saying, we want to create a place where somebody comes in and they want to live and invest in that community. And that can be different things. That's a different thing. Amazon is building, I believe, they're investing in building, I think, 300,000 square feet of new space in South Lake Union, probably a lot more. But they're saying, this is a place where our employees want to live over the long term, and where we want to be over the long term. That's a different place, obviously, from Monroe, but all the same, I think Monroe can invest in its quality place, and successful cities invest in the quality place, and that attracts entrepreneurs and makes entrepreneurs who are already there stay.
So another contextual issue is the silver tsunami, which is baby boomers, which is, if we look between 2010 and 2040 even, the number of folks over 65 in the United States doubles and increases more from 2050. This affects a lot of things. It affects the healthcare industry, and it affects housing. And one of the things we're seeing is because of a number of factors, including baby boomers who are retiring, downsizing, and certainly not all of them, but so many, when you have a population of in the tens of millions, that boomers are looking for often smaller homes, lower maintenance homes, places that are simpler to get into and out of. And so these housing types we're seeing and working with home builders are additional options that are really coming on and augmenting single family homes. And in terms of infill development in Monroe, they offer some opportunities. So some things about Monroe, and this is at a high level. But again, we know that growth is coming. And at the moment, Snohomish County has projected 21% growth in about the next 25 years. About 5,000 new residents in the city and about 6,400 in the urban growth area. So considerable number of new residents. Monroe is a family community. So you know, this becomes apparent looking at all the other cities in Snohomish County. 47% of the households in Monroe are families with children, compared to 32% countywide. So it's significant. So when we think about what kind of quality of place Monroe wants to project and be, there's the opportunity to invest in a family community and the kind of amenities and attractions that kind of populace is looking for. So in contrast to what I said earlier about housing diversity, 96% of all the housing permits in the city of Monroe were for single family homes. So it's a single family home community largely that's also a family community. No surprise. We did notice that 20% of the households in Monroe are Hispanic compared to 10% countywide. That's certainly a notable demographic item. As Bill mentioned, the kind of commuting patterns are interesting when you look at Monroe. We've got kind of, don't know if you can tell the colors here, but we've got kind of two shapes. I'll talk about the green one first. So if you look at this kind of green triangle, that's where people who are working in Monroe come from. And a lot of that actually is in kind of northern Snohomish County and Sky Valley. And so, and as Bill said, Monroe is a job center for those folks. Now for people that live in Monroe, the commuting pattern is to the west, to I-5, to 405, and even and down into Seattle, and even south. And so, you know, it's interesting, 85% of residents, people who live here, work outside the city. And note, these numbers do not add up to 100%. But of those 85%, so 15% go to work in the city of Seattle. That's the, after the city of Monroe, that's the number one place people go to work. And it's about the same amount of people that go to commute to work in Seattle as stay in Monroe. So we think that's significant, and it's telling us that in some ways Monroe is a job center, in some ways it is a better community. And so this is another way to look at it. Monroe actually is a job center. It has more jobs, about 7,300, than people that it exports to work or to employed residents. And that, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about why that is. So in terms of industry categories, Monroe has more jobs in these areas: public administration, education, healthcare, manufacturing, retail, accommodation and lodging, construction. And public administration includes city, county, the penitentiary, the fairgrounds, and others. Fewer jobs in these categories: professional, scientific, and technical services, information, and technology, manufacturing, finance, and real estate. Now, manufacturing, if you're real sharp, you'll notice is in both places. And the reason we put it up there is partially to confuse you. but partially because we looked at different, it depends what you benchmark it against. So kind of, if you benchmark Monroe against other, primarily, or other residential communities in Snohomish County, Mill Creek, Lake Stevens, you'll see there's more manufacturing in Monroe than those places. On the other hand, if you actually look at it against Everett or all of Snohomish County, it has significantly less. So it depends what you benchmark it against. So I have a few kind of data slides that are a little overwhelming. I'm going to try to not get bogged down. But what we did here is to look at Monroe's jobs in terms of industry category versus a couple other places. We're not showing all of them, but here I'm showing Monroe versus Bothell versus Snohomish County and Puget Sound. So, as I said, this is showing the percentage of, for example, public administration. 18% of Monroe's employees are working in public administration, including the penitentiary. Just a few notes. First of all, as I mentioned, some of those categories where Monroe in the blue is outperforming some of the peers or has more jobs in a particular category. If we look at manufacturing, this is Snohomish County and has a tremendous amount of manufacturing jobs partially because of Boeing and all the jobs that are related to that. But then if you look down at some of the professional scientific and technical services and information, you can see the dark green is Bothell, and that's typical of some of the 405 communities in the central Puget Sound where you have a lot of white-collar jobs. In retail, compared to other areas, Monroe has more retail. It has more grocery stores, health and personal care, building materials, gas stations, office supplies, and sporting goods, and less retail in these categories. Some of these are no surprise at all. Not a lot of department stores, clothing, electronics. And actually, this was a surprise to us, restaurants. In our analysis of consumer potential, of consumer spending and the businesses that are here, we actually found that there's a potential for more restaurants, which I was surprised by. It's something we can look at more, but the data is saying that pretty strongly. And then we also, there's a, kind of a undersupply of general merchandise. I put that in parentheses because when Walmart is operating, that will disappear. And again, we did a technical analysis of this, but I'm not going to speak to it. It'll be in our report. So in terms of the fiscal situation, this is one reason that economic development is important. This is a five-year budget forecast for the city. And this forecast essentially shows revenues and expenditures keeping pace with each other over the next 5 years. Our experience working particularly with cities in the state of Washington is that this is always a concern, that it's always economic development is particularly important in order to make sure the tax base is strong, make sure that property taxes revenues continue to grow as do retail and other revenue sources. So this doesn't necessarily convey a problem, but it reminds us of one reason that economic development is important. So I'm going to talk about themes and big ideas, and these are kind of potentially what we're going to do is I'm going to run through a bunch of stuff that we've seen consistently in talking to folks and reading your past plan. So the sources for our big ideas, where we've heard what we've heard. We did a series of interviews with people in the community. We did the kickoff visioning session. We looked at past plans, and we did our own economic analysis. And so I'm going to present a series of about 10, quote, big ideas or goals, and be thinking about which ones of these you agree with, which ones you like, which ones you support, which ones you would want to invest in. Because then what we're going to do is I'm going to stop talking, and we're going to flip over these pieces of paper, and we're going to give you an opportunity to essentially vote. And Rick and Bill will give you all the details about that, about which of these big ideas you think are important and should be in the comp plan and should be the goals, the economic development goals for Monroe over the next 20 years. These fit in the goals area, and we'll kind of add specificity to them after this session. These are some of the plans that we looked at, including the downtown plan, the parks plan, the old comp plan, and the branding master plan. So here's some themes that we heard. And sorry if some of these are not surprising, but it's a mix of both very consistent themes and also some ideas that we wanted to put out there that don't appear throughout the plans but are worth kind of bringing into the conversation. So revitalize downtown, very consistent. Continue to add amenities that make Monroe a great place to raise a family. Build Destination Monroe, the adventure starts here. Add land and infrastructure for jobs and housing. Attract more manufacturing jobs. Attract more professional and technical service jobs. Attract more retail to add to tax base. Beautify Highway 2. Encourage infill development. Use Monroe's diversity as a competitive advantage. Build the Highway 2 bypass. Streamline regulation for faster project entitlement. And this is some of our visioning results again. And thanks for listening. Bill, I'm going to pass it off to Bill again.
Who is wondering if you might want to take some questions.
I would be happy to, yeah. Does anyone have any questions? Yes.
So it looked like most of the data you got from 2011 census.
Yes.
Is that correct? And so kind of what I've heard is things are changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep pace of the change.
Yes.
So when we say this plan would be, 10, 20 years, I mean, how realistic is it that by the time we get this plan set, sometime in 2015, how lasting is it truly in what's happening today?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Bill, why don't you come up here, because I think some of these will be overarching, perhaps. But my hope would be that the goals that we come up with are, again, when we talk about high-level goals, and that they're enduring goals. So, for example, if we said, we want a greater connection to the Skykomish River, or we want to revitalize downtown, or we want to beautify Highway 2. Those, are relatively long-term challenges or goals. The odds that we'll achieve that in 2016 is unlikely. And the other thing is, as I said, this elements of this plan can be revised every few years. But the ideal is that these are big picture goals that really can be implemented or can be shot for over 10, 20 years.
And one other question, just kind of some things I've read more is about the urbanization of people want to live, work, shop. That's why Amazon building in Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very inclusive environment for them to live, school, work, shop, everything right there. And that people are kind of moving away from this suburbia and moving away from centers like that. Did that come up at all, or is that, is that relevant?
I can speak to that.
Monroe?
I mean, I can speak to that. There's no doubt that there's a tremendous amount of development, more development in urban centers now. That is incredibly dramatic. At the same time, the way I think about it is, that there is not. I think we used to think about one American dream. It was a single family home and a yard and a dog and kids. They're multiple American dreams now, and it doesn't mean that. As I just showed, 96% of the permits in Monroe over the last 10 years are for single-family homes. That's not going away. That's going to be strong. And I think we, from the housing point of view, we could look at, yes, there is more interest in walkability. There's more interest in
compact homes, homes that are easier to maintain, that are smaller. And so you can, I think you may be able to find a way to apply that market preference to Monroe that's not a tower that would fit in downtown Seattle. Yes?
Thank you. Just curious about some of the cities that you talked about in comparison.
Yes.
To Monroe. I know Bend, for one, has a lot of different opportunities. It's also about six times the size of our city. Just curious about some of them. Reference to Everett as well, which is, I mean, that's more than a apples and oranges comparison, really, between the cities as far as, you know, there's an
high absolutely.
Corridor, there's a population base. There's just curious about the cities that we heard about in some of your comparisons.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I was talking about Everett, you know, is that the aviation industry is obviously huge up here, and so the presence of that industry and the presence of you know, the growing presence of the tech and healthcare industries in Bothell, for example, and the fact that you have a population here that commutes to many of those places and works in those industries means that you have a population with a skill set. You know, you have people that work in the aviation industry. You have people that work in the healthcare and tech industries. Those are people that could potentially start big businesses here. And so, you know, one of the big things in economic development has been clusters. In other words, you know, kind of sectors of an industry, whether it's technology or aviation, and I think the outdoor industry here is an example. Sorry, I'm jumping around. But the idea is, look at your strengths of the skill sets that you have locally, and how can you build on those and get people to start or expand or relocate businesses. So there's the aviation industry has a lot of suppliers to it. And so the people that have manufacturing businesses related to the aviation industry could locate here.
No, I appreciate that. Another city that I find is very similar to Monroe is Enumclaw in
yeah.
the size and kind of the way it's laid out. They have a highway that runs through it,
yeah.
which is where much of their, like Monroe,
yes.
much of their retail is. And then they have a downtown, which
yeah.
is over,
yeah.
was successfully redeveloped with public-private partnerships. They had a cash influx. And
yeah.
They've got cobblestone streets. It's an attractive place now. It's a destination. There's restaurants. And
yes.
It's fun. And I see that, and I'm like, oh, man.
Well, I appreciate that you mentioned that. You know, your Enumclaw has come up a bunch of times,
yeah.
and I wanted to talk about places where I've worked and that I'm really familiar with, and that has come up a bunch of times as a potential model. Anyone else? Well, I think, yeah.
We'll go ahead on to the next one.
And Brian, I imagine you may say have the same thoughts that when economic development balance, fit, adaptability. You know, you want to make sure that
yes.
that you put together a strategy that's going to be unique to Monroe, but it's going to be one that will be able to survive the cycles that we know are coming in our economic. And you were talking about certain segments of the population that may prefer certain kinds of environments for living. Well, you know, again, it's that balance. How do you create the kinds of environments that are going to satisfy the greatest number of people that you have in the community? It doesn't mean that it's a wholesale change. It doesn't mean that it's something that's not worth trying. So, anyway, a bit about our exercise. Yeah, we're going to continue working on this vision tree. You will see it continue to get filled as this process continues. A great deal of what you're going to tell us tonight, though, through the exercise, will translate into things that we will be putting up on this vision tree. And again, if you feel compelled to talk about vision tree, we have specific things that you think we need to consider, if there's a goal, a policy, or a program, please feel free to write it down this evening on one of those posters and put it up on the tree, and we'll figure out how to include it. Now's the time to turn over the exercise worksheet that you have on your desk. And we're looking to get groups of two or three to work on this exercise. So I think we have enough to have two per sheet. So you may, after I'm done talking here, want to shift around a little bit to make sure you've got two per sheet. And I think it's also appropriate for staff to get involved in this exercise too. So it's certainly something that's suitable to that. Remember, Brian was talking about a series of economic development components that you might want to consider. We've listed some of these down here. We have 10 of them, and they are filtering down onto the sheet from the pulse pad exercise that we did, as well as looking back to your adopted vision from your existing comprehensive plan. Now, these things all feed directly into an economic development strategy. What we're going to be asking you to do is we're going to ask each group of you to consider the individual elements. And with a red dot, let us know how Monroe is doing today. So on the first one, how is Monroe faring as an affordable place to be? All right, so we're going to ask you to do that for each one of those things, is to identify where on that scale of -5 to +5 you believe Monroe rates. So if you think we are okay, then you rate it a neutral, you give it a 0. But if you think that we're really doing well as an affordable place, go ahead and give us somewhere on the positive side. If you think that we have somewhere up there, we're not doing so well in terms of affordability, then you put it down on the negative side of the scale. Do that for each of those 10. And then we're going to be asking you to think about the more aspirational side. Where over the next 20 years do you think Monroe needs to be in terms of affordability? So what we're doing with this exercise is we are identifying what we call a vision gap, that distance between where we are today and where it is that we want to be for each of those 10 categories. So this is an exercise that is both a diagnostic, but it's also a prescription. And what I'm going to ask you to do to help us get into the world of prescription is to tell us why. Remember, we need to know why. Tell us why you aspire one thing or another. Now, when you're looking at that aspiration slider scale, tell us why you think that that is an important consideration. You want affordability? Great. Tell us why. You want regional retail? Okay. Tell us why. So that we can begin to understand some of your thoughts behind why that aspiration is an important one for you. Wow, that was dazzling. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to need you to do is to do some math. No, this is fine. Is to do some math. So that you can tell us what that gap is between the existing condition and the aspiration. So I know we've got negative numbers involved here, but use absolute value. So you can get that distance from one dot to the next dot. And what we're going to do is we're going to total that. We didn't put a box on the page, but we're going to total that overall gap so that we can know on each of your worksheets how much work we have to do here to close that gap. If your number is quite high, then we know we have a lot of work on our hands. But if the numbers are a little bit lower, then we get a sense that Monroe is probably tracking okay and that we don't have to overcome a significant gap overall. But not necessarily every category will have the same value. Your group may think that affordability is super duper important, or you may think that being this cog in the Seattle metropolitan regional complex is really, really important. So we're going to ask you to weigh each of your individual categories. Now picture this. For those of you who are city council people, you already do this exercise every year. But we're going to ask the rest of you to consider how you're going to allocate a value of 10 across each of those 10 criteria. So if you think that these things are all of similar importance, then you're going to put 1s all the way down that weighting column. But if you think that some of these are maybe more important than others, you're going to start having to figure out where you're taking them away from so you can increase the weight of the others.
So But maybe affordability is really important to me. Regional retail isn't necessarily so important to me, so I'll reduce. Now, there's a nuance here on this that I want you to consider as you're looking at this. What we're trying to do is we're trying to ascertain how much energy and resources the city is to put behind these things. So you may encounter a situation where you have quite a large gap between where we are and where we want to be, but you may also just philosophically think that this is something the market is going to take care of, and the city really shouldn't invest in this at all. Yeah, we understand we want to be someplace other than where we are, but public investment may not be the way to do it. So that might free up a little bit of your resources so you can apply them to something else where you think public investment's really pretty critical. Okay, so first step is to take a look at existing condition, think how we fare. The second one is to take a look at Monroe through a more of an aspirational lens. Figure out what the difference is, what that gap is, and then let us know relatively how much the city should invest in each of those. And your number down here on the weighting column has to equal 10. You can't cheat on this one. Now, it reminds me of a funny story. We used to do this with penny polls, where we would give people a stack of 10 pennies and 10 jars, and they would drop pennies in the jars that they thought needed to be spent, the money would be spent on. Well, we did this once, a focus group with the Planning Commission and a couple of other staff people. We had 10 people participating. Okay, the math was easy. We needed to have 100 pennies in all the jars when we were done. We had 107. So, use this box here to check your results. Okay, now we also have a grab bag here, which is our one here. If you have another topic that we didn't talk about that you think is really relevant to economic development, let us know. Write it down. Let us know what you're talking about. It won't factor into your 1 to 10 weighting. We have a tear sheet. Rick, do you still have one to hold up? Actually, we have one right here. We have a tear sheet right here, your table notes. We're going to ask each of the groups to give us a bit of a summary of what you came up with. We're going to be asking you to tell us the three highest scoring factors, the biggest gaps that you have. You know, so talk to us about the three things that you think are most important. Talk to us about the areas where you have the greatest work to do, and what it is you want to spend your money on most. So that's part of what we're going to ask you to do. We're also going to ask you to queue up in turn so that Mr. Hastings here, this shadowy figure in the back, can actually enter this into our spreadsheet so that we'll all see how we're doing overall as a group, and we'll get some immediate feedback on how we're perceiving these gaps. Okay, so I tell you what, we need to be out of here by, that's not right, is it?
Yeah.
It's 5 to 6 after 8? Yeah. What time do we promise to be done?
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock? 9 o'clock. Okay, so let's take 35 minutes on this exercise, and if you guys are done sooner than that, that's great. We'll launch into presentations and maybe we can get out of here before 9 o'clock. Now, Rick, Paul, and I, and Brian are going to be walking around, and we can help answer some questions as you go on. So you'll hear the sound of the delicate sound of a cowbell that will alert you to 35 minutes expired.
Okay, you're back.
Oh, there we go. Okay, great. When you're done doing your notations and doing your math, please get your worksheet to Mr. Hastings so we can program that into our spreadsheet.
Worksheet?
The
big piece of paper.
The one you're going to use for your grip notes. Okay, talk to us. We can use that as your presentation. Okay, so group number one, tell us what you found.
Okay, the three highest scoring growth factors were the regional retail, small businesses, and Main Street.
Okay. Regional retail.
Small businesses.
Small businesses.
And Main Street.
Okay.
And the highest scoring growth factors, again, were retail, Main Street, and walkability.
Okay.
The two largest growth factor gaps, retail and walkability.
Okay.
Highest investment, retail and Main Street.
Retail and Main Street for highest degree of investment. Now, did you have a situation where your blue dot was further left than your red dot? Any negative numbers on your table?
Yes. There was a negative on Main Street, yes.
So,
one.
Where the blue dot is further left.
Oh, no, you're right.
Okay, so all positive, so all of your aspirations are to...
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Anything strike you as particularly interesting in that mix?
How would you characterize it? Seattle MetroCog. We just didn't think that was a factor. We want to do our own thing.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was that, Rick? What did you say?
Oh, the final question, too. I mean, do you have a way to sort of summarize your economic development strategy based on your thoughts there?
Chris, it was excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
What you're doing's working, right? Okay. Okay, how about table number two, or worksheet number two?
The three highest scores in growth factor existing, we had outdoor, adventure, and family friendly. We only had two because everything else we had four that actually tied with each other.
So okay.
In the blue, we had for vision, outdoor adventure, family friendly, and walkable. And the two largest growth factors were small, mid-sized business, and walkable interconnection.
Okay.
Group's highest investment for a growth factor with the affordable place and the small business.
Okay. Okay. So, how would you characterize the strategy you've already programmed this one?
Good services that you could work, live, shop here. so expanding the retail and having the same store and connected walkway.
Okay, who's table number four, Brad? Okay. The three highest existing factors are outdoor adventure, family friendly, and bedroom community. Our three highest growth factors for the envisioned are family, small town, and walkable. Their two highest growth factor gaps are small town and walkable. The group's highest investment, which actually we had two, that each got $3, was small town and walkable. And we actually did have somebody that went to the left.
Yeah?
And asked if we made bedroom community go to the left.
Uh-huh. Okay, so less emphasis on bedroom community.
Yeah.
All right.
And then after looking at where all our dots came out and having read the Destination Development 2007 branding study, basically came up with develop outdoor adventure with connectivity to downtown that will revitalize downtown.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Has Rick already introduced you?
Okay. He gave that to us.
Oh, okay.
You took it in this one.
All right. Good.
Okay. So you can hold on to that for posterity. Okay, group number five.
So we get a three highest scoring for small, mid-sized business place, family friendly, and federal community. Our three highest envision was small, mid-sized business place.
Thank you.
think we need to be less of a bedroom community.
Downplay that.
Yeah, downplay that a little bit. And downplay the regional. I think we are doing well with the regional, but we need to develop, like Kevin said, with the downtown, smaller business. You know, I can think of several examples of smaller communities that have done that and have revitalized their downtown and all kinds of business and tourism and all kinds of things. Living and stuff.
I see you added one as well.
Yeah, we thought traffic issues were a very big deal, and we do understand that a lot of those traffic issues the city itself may not be able to spend money on because it is a state highway system. But I think that should be a focus of something to try and move traffic to the area.
You can pay Brad to sit on the chest.
That's what we stand for now.
Okay, very good. And have you scored your sheet already, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so table 7, worksheet 7.
Number 7. Our three highest scoring growth factors were affordable place, family friendly, and Seattle Cog. You should know that Seattle Cog is actually next.
Okay.
Three highest scoring growth factors, outdoor adventure, small mid-sized business, and regional retail. The group's two largest growth factor gaps, outdoor and small business. The group's highest investment rate for growth is outdoor and small business. And our characterization for the group's economic development strategy, make Monroe an attractive place to do business and a lot of people determine.
I can second the transportation.
Yes. I will add that.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it would be.
Huge
component of economic development.
It's no coincidence that next month is transportation month. Because as we were getting into economic development with it, more and more clear that not only is transportation a critical component in your economic prosperity, but there are some opportunities that may be out there, depending on what the state does. So, interesting dynamic. Okay, worksheet 8.
Worksheet 8. Our group's three highest scoring growth factors were bedroom community, affordable, and we had a three-way tie with outdoor adventure place, family friendly, and the other personal kids. Our three highest scoring growth factors were small, medium-sized business, small town Main Street, and walkable. Our two largest growth factor gaps were small, mid-sized business place, and small town Main Street. And our highest investment weight for growth factor was a three-way tie between small, mid-sized business, family-friendly, and small town Main Street. And our economic development strategy was based on some of the stats that we showed us tonight, which is 87%. Almost half of our residents are children. So we factored that into our community. And our emphasis is taking small business here, creating a good environment for small business, revitalizing downtown, and continuing to focus on family activities and business.
Great, thank you. You know, it's interesting when you look at the household size in Monroe, it's really quite high. When you compare it to the Amish County. And we already tallied in your worksheet? Okay, very good. And sheet 9.
Our three highest scoring growth factors were better community and business. And then three highest scoring growth factors were affordable place, family friendly, and business. And then two growth factor gaps were retail and walkable. And then highest investment was in We didn't get to the characterization yet.
Okay. So, were there situations, I'm looking at the sheet here, it looks like blue is always to the, oh no, actually the veteran community place got a negative number there. Are there other negative numbers?
Where blue is going the other way?
Yeah, a little bit.
Small town Main Street place. Okay. Yeah, a little negative there.
Okay. All right, and we have table 10.
What you got for us?
Let's see here. The first time scoring growth factor was affordable place.
So there are some things that you could put in the bank for where you agree, but there are some other issues out there that probably need to be.
I mean, we believe that we didn't see the road
Can you talk us through the spreadsheet a little bit, and how the gap totals look?
I still need to get sheet 10 in here, but I'm just now seeing this myself. So, gap total highest 10. On.
Can you scroll to group one?
Yeah.
Get one more ring. So group one is a 22, group two is a 26. Group three is a 24.
Four is a 39. Five is 30. Six is 30. Seven, 34. Eight, 37. 9, 25, and 10 is still to be tallied.
Okay. Now, when we laid out this exercise, we didn't necessarily think that we would see where the blue dot went the other way. So we're going to have to figure out how to analyze that. We'll probably pull out those categories as something that needs special attention. But accepting those negative numbers, what we're trying to do with this is to let us know how hard we need to work to close that gap. Now, if we were in a situation where everything was at the most extreme, where for every of those growth factors, you said our existing condition is a negative 5 and our envisioned condition is a plus 5, we'd wind up with scores like 100. If we were in a situation where you were in complete agreement over your gaps, we'd be at a zero. So as we start thinking about how the magnitude of the overall gap that we need to close, I think we're talking about stuff that's more on the order of adjustment than it is on the order of transformation. If we had something that was closer to the 75 or the 100, then we know that we really have a lot of work to do with the physical framework of Monroe to
to achieve the kind of economic aims that you have. But, you know, we have a situation here where these numbers are generally on the lower half of the spectrum, at least with this group that we have here tonight. So we really start looking at how we begin to fine-tune some of the things rather than go through a wholesale change. If that makes sense. Okay. Any closing comments? Brian?
You know, there's so much. We just heard from, what, 10 groups? And from my perception of that, there was a lot of consistency. And it was, I think it'll be really interesting when we look at these numbers. I guess I did, one question I had, I heard two people talk a lot about regional retail. And I'm just curious what that means to these two groups, was one question. When I say the words regional retail, I'm thinking of a place that people drive many miles to go to. And so tell us about that.
Yeah, movie theaters for one.
Okay.
People come from all over to come to the movie theater.
Yeah.
It's that, those types of things. Uh-huh. So we were trying to figure what are the things existing wise.
Yeah.
That people travel to Monroe to do for sure.
Yep.
That's guaranteed. That's one of them.
Yep.
So when we were weighing ours, that's what we were thinking about. Are you asking what we were thinking when we were thinking?
Yeah. So my understanding from your reporting out was, do you want to see more regional retail? That both these two groups want to see more regional retail.
People come. They come from long ways. They spend their money. And then they go home.
Okay.
Well, it's funny that you brought that up because when I was listening to other groups and they were saying more small businesses.
Yeah.
And I don't think being a regional center means bigger businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, they don't have to be the same.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when we were talking about regional, we were talking about people coming here. Mm-hmm. We are on, you know, Highway 2, 522, 203. East doesn't have much that way.
Yeah.
They kind of have to come.
Yes.
We are in a very perfect geographical position for people to come and shop, to come here. Where we wanted to see more was to have more services. And when you looked at what we were lacking, clothing, where we were heavy, grocery, personal care, I mean, I could say nail salon, teriyaki place. You know, that we would want, I think we have the capacity and we have an opportunity to provide more services where people will come here and shop more. And it's something that we can capitalize because of our location. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean at the expense of necessarily a small business.
All right. Well, thank you. This was really very helpful. Just so you know how this plays out in the overall scheme of things, we're going to run a similar exercise tomorrow night for the general public, and we're going to compare the results from tonight's exercise to what comes out of tomorrow's. So people who are on the advisory committee, planning commission, city council people, park board members, you're certainly more than welcome to attend tomorrow night's event. I think it would be great for the community to interact with all of you at this level. But since you participated in this exercise, I'd ask you to just maybe facilitate more than get involved too aggressively.
I thought it was a vote efforts. Early and often.
Yeah. Chicago, Monroe. Yeah, two syllables. Okay. And then next week we're going to do our transportation, or next month is transportation month. I would also ask that city council members, planning commissioners, park board members, and advisory committee members dial into the website and get involved in that. Part of that website is a who's listening kind of an activity. And so community members who get into it and who make comments or who ask a question, it's kind of nice to get that dialogue going. And so as people who are either electives or appointed officials or members of the advisory committee, I think it's really helpful to get that sounding board rolling and get it going. Being constructive and adding maybe a little nuance or dimension to the conversation always be helpful. So again, thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, some comments?
Thank you, Bill. I do want to thank everybody for taking time out to come here together.
I have never seen the Planning Commission and also the City Council and also the Parks Board in one place. And I'm going to take this opportunity to thank all of you for the work that you do. You pretty much, some of you volunteer your time, a couple of you, you know, some of you get a little bit of compensation for your time, and whatever it is, you volunteer your time. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you from my heart for the work that you do. And I think a round of applause on that would be appreciated. I want to underscore what Bill said, which is that I'm hoping that people will get engaged in that Envision Monroe. I, for one, am learning how to use the site as well. I do get comments every once in a while. I do scan through Facebook and whatnot, and I understand that there are some members of the public that have posted on there. They're looking forward to you all interacting, as well as other members of the public, and the consultants will use that information as part of putting together the planning materials. So I think that I'd encourage all of you to look into that. And I think that's it. Yes, sir, Paul.
Just one quick note. For me also, thank you for being here and doing this, but if you can join us tomorrow night, it's 6:30, and it's in this room. It's called the Drama Room.
The what room?
See there.
Did you say Drama Room?
Drama Room.
Okay.
Good place for drama.
Okay. All right. On that note, there being no further business, we are up. Councilmember Hanford.
Do you need a motion to adjourn?
No, there's no action taken, so there being no other business, I'm just going to say we're adjourned. Thank you.
What did they talk? Who's that?